This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
We played the radio call last hour. Juan Soto at the plate in a pivotal spot and facing Josh Hader with the game on the line. Top of the ninth, Mets-Astros. Here was Gary Cohen on SNY.
Acuña will run from first. And Soto chases a slider, strike three, and the Astros beat the Mets on opening day.
So
Juan Soto!
You stink.
We did hear Evan already tell me he needs to wake up. Let's go, Juan. Wake up. Can't be chasing sliders in the dirt there in the righty batter's box in game one. I was talking to Fleegs off the air. He had more of an issue with the 3-1 swing and chase.
With the fastball out of the zone?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I had a bigger issue with the fact that if you're going to swing in this at bat and he hangs a slider right down the middle and 3-0, why don't you swing at it? You're not going to get a better pitch.
Fair enough.
But whatever. There's going to be times he succeeds. There's going to be times he fails.
For sure.
But this was annoying. I'm sorry. Like, it was game one, and it was annoying.
Yeah.
And it was also annoying that Brandon Nimmo didn't come through in the eighth, and that you had the Whole Foods kid who didn't come up big either. That would have been like that was a Disney moment, Disney movie moment there for that guy, and he strikes out swinging.
Against Josh Hader.
Okay, yeah. Fine. But you're on the roster. Like, it's cute for a little bit, but you're up there in a big spot in a situation where you could tie the game and or take the lead.
Storybook spot.
This is the Mets. We don't have storybook.
They did last year.
Yeah,
everything was storybook.
How can you say that off
of
last season?
That was last year, I guess you could say Pete Alonso had a storybook home run in the playoffs, of course.
Lindor in the final game of the regular season.
Yeah, but again, those guys are veterans. Those guys should have
those moments. Vientos is not a veteran?
How about Jose Iglesias?
I mean, this guy was working at Whole Foods, for God's sake.
Whole Foods
He's
getting a lot of plays
today. Moment, you know, you're not going to get it.
I mean, but even were setting it up on a broadcast.
Hell of an opportunity in your first major league at bat.
And you struck out.
Yeah, and a punchy.
A lot of strikeouts in
baseball. But I'm just telling you that give me the last time, and I'm sure there has been, I'm just wondering the last time where a rookie had that moment like that for the Mets that went on to become really good.
I mean, Mark Vientos was a rookie last year. He had a million of those moments.
I'm going to defer to the Met fan.
Yeah, but Mark Vientos doesn't have the story like he was working at Whole Foods.
So now you're being very specific.
Yeah. Well, saying, journeymen that worked at Whole Foods?
But
they don't. You generally show up as how old is this guy?
29?
Yeah, 29-year-old rookie who then becomes a big...
That's the kind of guy I'm talking about, a rookie journeyman.
But you also then said goes on to become a really good player.
Or,
that's a lot of specifics there.
Listen, I stand by the first thing that came out of my mouth this morning. I felt like there were three opportunities that last year that I was told could happen as a Mets fan did not happen in this first game.
Okay.
And that was Nimmo in the eighth. It was Whole Foods in the ninth. And it was Juan Soto in the ninth as well.
Can we call him Whole Foods all year?
Yes.
As long as,
yes,
forever, how long he's actually here? Yeah.
I mean, well, he'll be here until Francisco Alvarez gets back.
Yes. I mean, this guy, you could see him in the on the on-deck circles. He's like trying to breathe.
Hyperventilating.
Could you imagine? You can imagine the pressure intensity.
Yeah, I could, because I'm essentially like,
he's probably sitting there going, the same guy. God, I can't believe that I'm doing this.
Why am I on this team? For God's sakes. Jesus.
A little different for Soto, who had the same result against Hader to end the game. You referenced this, I think, last segment about him going up there, 3-0 count, that spot in the game, Alonso behind him, and this is a theme that's followed Soto around, not always looking to take an at bat into his own hands.
I don't mind taking a walk right there. You know, it's Pete behind me, and he's a really good power hitter, so I think we have a better chance right there. Lefty-righty matchup. He just got me in that situation.
He did on both the 3-1 pitch and the 3-2 pitch. Here was Carlos Mendoza, his view on that at bat.
I thought he had some good at bats today, and even on that one. You know, he got a 3-0. And then 3-1, like I said, that pitch that he got there, just missed it. And then, you know, pretty good pitch, but he'll come through.
But he did single his first time up. He walked a couple of times, so he was on base throughout. Game two of that series, tonight at 8:10, Tyler McGill opposed by Hunter Brown.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Double-A tournament, Texas Tech on the ropes against John Calipari's Arkansas squad, rallied back, got a late three to force overtime, and then escaped the Razorbacks in the extra session.
Here comes Wagner up the right side. 3 seconds left. Wagner driving right, behind his back, launches a 20-footer for the tie. No! It's over! Texas Tech has won! Texas Tech is going to the Elite Eight! The Red Raiders back! The dead.
That's Ryan Radke, Westwood One, NCAA Radio Network, 85-83, the final in OT. So they will next face one seed Florida as the Gators beat Maryland 87-71. So the Terps are done. What do you got?
Hispanic Mike Francesa. What's in the background of that clip?
Hispanic Mike Francesa.
100%.
Can we roll that back there, CBS Sports Network?
You'll see him. You'll pick him out. You'll know it immediately.
Okay.
You'll see when it goes to slow motion.
Yeah.
He is there.
We're seeing the final attempt here by Arkansas. The shot goes up.
And he's right there. And here Hispanic he is, right to the left, right there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
The hair and glasses.
The hair, the
for
glasses,
sure.
The square head, everything.
Maybe we can get a freeze frame on that at some point. Not that I'm trying to give those guys extra work to do.
Was that not just uncanny?
Yeah.
Holy hell.
By the way, you guys were tagged in it, I think. Did you see Mike out on the streets? Someone doing a little, trying to interview him, walk and talk. He's posing for selfies. He's signing autographs.
Where?
He's trying to get somewhere in this Manhattan, it looked like.
Oh, my
goodness.
Check
that out during the break. I think someone asked you to recap that on the air.
I didn't see it.
No, not for this second, but okay. You might get a chuckle out of it during
the
break.
You know the one thing that I have noticed when you are in the update chair?
What, that we bring up Mike a lot? Is that what you're
saying? No, somehow, some way, you end up always getting extra time. I don't know how that is.
Extra time?
Yeah, because, you know, you sat in an extra segment last hour.
No. That was me squeezing in the sports because we had to do 10 minutes on you and McMonagle out front with the parking
spot.
Yeah,
but you always get extra time.
That's not extra time. That is the time.
Al, does he get extra time? Does he work?
Seems like a lot of extra time.
I feel like you have a way of weaseling your way into extra time.
Extra time. Meanwhile, I'm supposed to go to 40. It's 39. So technically, I still have a minute left. Would you like to hear from your head coach, Kevin Willard?
I would like to hear from him. Tell us that he doesn't know where he's going when he's actually going to Villanova.
All right. So you think that's a done deal? A lot of chatter. And here's what he had to say post game.
No, I don't know what I'm doing. I'll just be honest with you. I haven't talked to my agent. I haven't talked to my wife. I made a promise to this team that I was going to just focus on this team, and that's all I've done.
Yeah.
The thing that chaps me about this, and I don't blame him because, you know, players come and go. coaches come and go. It's a new world within the NCAA. This next 10 years is going to be like the wild, wild west. And he has an opportunity to do something at Villanova without having to deal with a football coach or lacrosse coaches or other, you know, sports that, you know, want to be able to give some money to their kids to come to school there. But I also know that there's no AD in place at Maryland. But my close friends who are really close to the Maryland basketball program, who have raised millions of dollars for the collective initially, and then also to build them a $50 million practice palace for both the men's and women's basketball teams, you know, it seems like, wow, they went out on a limb to raise that money, put that money in there to keep this coach there. And if he leaves, I can understand why they would be upset. I totally would, but I also understand why he would leave.
Right.
So it's a tough spot for Maryland, and if he does leave, which it looks like he's going to, it's going to be hard to rebuild what they had going on here underneath him over the last 3 years.
Quickly, East Regional Final will be chalk, but heck of a matchup. It'll be Duke and Alabama as the Blue Devils beat Arizona, and Alabama made 25 threes to beat up on BYU.